be a willing participant. Don't do the office of a pastor by constraint. Do it willingly because you want to do it. You know, I like when people work and they're just like, they're working because they want to do it. You know what I mean? They're just like, this is what I want to do. You say, why? Well, because when you have someone who wants to do fulfill a job, you don't really have to oversee them that much. Because they're going to end up doing more than you require of them.
Right?
Like they enjoy their job and they're doing it willingly, so therefore they're going to put more effort into the task.
Yep.
Whereas a person who does it by constraint, they become an unprofitable servant. Because they only do that which is required of them. You know what God wants for his pastors? He wants them to not be doing the office of a bishop by constraint, but willingly, because they're going to do more than what's required of them.
Amen.
Okay. So go back to 1 Peter. So he says, feed the flock. Take the oversight. Make sure you have a pulse on the church. You know, don't be a nosy person. Don't try to look for problems, but be aware when the problems come up. Don't run away from problems. Right? It's like if issues come up, it's like, oh, I don't know how to handle this. Go talk to someone else. No, you better figure it out. If you don't know how to deal with the situation as a pastor, and I know I'm talking to the church in general, but this is an important sermon, okay? Because I believe in the next couple of years, we're going to be sending out a lot of pastors. But, you know, if you don't know how to handle a situation as a pastor, you better pray. You better ask God for wisdom. You better have a cabinet of counselors that you can call and say, hey, I'm in this situation. I'm dealing with these people. What should I do? What would you do? You better figure it out. And not have this attitude of like, sorry, I can't help you. No, you better help that person. And if you don't know the answer, go find the answer. And I'm not saying go Google it either. Go to the reliable resources, reliable pastors, ask God for wisdom, and figure it out, okay? So he says, feed the flock which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly. This is a big one. Not for filthy lucre.
Right, yeah.
What is lucre? Well, lucrative, you think of that which is lucrative, is referring to money. So when you hear the term filthy lucre, it's basically referring to unjust gain.
Yeah.
And believe it or not, you know, some people would want to become a pastor for money.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Now, if you want to be a pastor for money, you're just getting in the wrong business. Because you cannot become rich as a pastor actually fulfilling the office of a pastor.
Right. Yeah.
Because of the fact that God forbids a pastor to become rich.
Right.
Now, he's not forbidding them to live a normal life and to pay their bills or whatever and to have nice things. But, you know, to become rich and wealthy, he is forbidding that for a pastor. Because the office of a pastor is supposed to be a humble position where they just live a normal life. They're serving the Lord in the church. They're helping people out. You know, they're preaching God's word. But he says there, by the way, this shows us that a person who is saved, who is a pastor, it can become a temptation for them to get involved in filthy lucre.
Right.
Or else that commandment would not be there.
Right.
You understand? He's saying, not for filthy lucre, he says. Now, this reminds me, I remember when I first got saved, you know, I got saved at a youth conference. And, you know, I thought to myself, I want to be a pastor one day. But I don't even think I said it that way. I think I just said, like, I want to preach one day. Because the guy who was preaching, he inspired me so much. I'm like, I want to proclaim God's word like that. You know, like that's what I want to do with my life. And so, and I didn't really know how to go about it. And of course, my old church used to have basically the Bible college. And they would say, you know, go to Bible college if you want to be a pastor. Well, I just gotten saved and I went to go talk to the pastor. And he's like, well, if you want to be a pastor, you got to sign up for Bible college in the fall, basically. Well, I don't know if it was the following week or what the timeline was, but I ended up getting baptized, and I brought my family, and I got baptized, and we went to a restaurant to go celebrate my baptism, the fact that I got baptized, right? And I was just excited about the Christian life. I'm like, man, I got baptized. I'm just kind of turning over a new leaf in my life. Like, I found what I've been looking for, and that's the Lord kind of thing. But so we went to a restaurant that I actually used to work at as a busser, okay? And so some of the people who worked there, you know, they knew me before I was saved. And I had a friend who was a busser. And he's like, he came up to me, he's like, hey, what's up, man? You know, how's it going? I'm like, oh, going great, you know. He's like, what's the special occasion? I'm like, well, I just got baptized. I got saved a couple weeks ago, and I got baptized. He's like, oh, okay. He's like, you're a Christian now? I'm like, yeah, I'm a Christian. He's like, well, what's the plan, you know? I'm like, well, I want to be a pastor. So I want to go to, I'm going to be going to Bible college in the fall to become a pastor. Now, obviously, I don't agree with Bible college, but that was the system that they had. And I said, you know, I want to go to Bible college to become a pastor. And this was his response. He's like, oh, man, is there some good money in that? And I was kind of taken back. And I told him, I was like, I have no idea. I don't think so. It doesn't look like it. You know, my pastor didn't look like he was very rich. And he was like, oh, okay, yeah. Well, maybe I can get into something like that. Like, he was seeing it like it was like a job or something. Where he can make money.